Welcome to episode 293 of Just One More Book. On this edition, Where in the Wild? Camouflage Creatures Concealed and Revealed, Ear-Tickling Poems by David M. Schwartz and Yael Shai, and Eye-Tricking Photos by Dwight Kuhn.
Just one more book, please, sir.
Okay.
I'm Mark.
I'm Andrea.
Today we're talking about a book that was nominated in the nonfiction category of the 2007 Sybil Awards, Where in the Wild? Camouflage Creatures Concealed and Revealed, Ear-Tickling Poems by David M. Schwartz and Yael Shai, and Eye-Tricking Photos by Dwight Kuhn.
Okay, this book is brilliant.
It's really good.
This book is very brilliant. I mean, our family is really, really into read aloud and poetry. So it fits right into our read aloud family framework, but it entices kids into nonfiction so beautifully, right?
In that's that a way, great way of putting it. Absolutely, yeah.
Because I know that there are lots of, say, boys or whatever who prefer nonfiction, but this kind of is it's there's something for everyone. This is a book about it's a nonfiction book, but for every animal in the book, there's a game, which is a photograph where the animal's camouflaged.
And you have to find it.
And it's not easy to find it.
Some of them are really hard.
Yeah.
Some of them are amazingly hard. And there's one in particular with the little serpentine, little grass snake, and Bela just loves testing you. Can you see it?
I mean,
we know where it is now because we've done this a million times, but she just loves every day.
That's probably the one thing that surprised me, is that I thought they would tire of it, you know, after the first time through, you know where everything is. But they love it, and Lucy's 8, and she loves the fact that there's a beautiful photograph. I mean, they're nice to look at, too.
Oh, the photographs
just
are amazing.
Aside from the fact that there's an animal hidden in there. It's like a tri-fold, I guess. So you flip this, the right-hand page open, and everything's been kind of muted the illustration.
Yeah, they've obviously used like Photoshop to highlight, to fade out the background and then draw out the animal.
So that the animal is prominently displayed on the second page. So, I mean, that's a lot of trouble to go to for an illustration that's just kind of the answer to the puzzle. But it works so, so well. I think it's really worth the investment.
Oh, absolutely. And then they have a section where they describe the qualities of that animal, about how they camouflage themselves.
And there are more pictures, like a couple more, maybe two or three more pictures of that animal that...
Like the coyote is drinking water, supposed to look lovable and all that.
What?
The coyote drinking the water is supposed to look lovable, right? Not a predator.
Oh, he's so cute. And then there's all kinds of really, really cool scientific kind of information about the animals.
What I really like, though, is they don't just talk about how they camouflage themselves. They talk about how the camouflage works. Because for humans, some of these are actually quite easy to see because we can discriminate the color a little bit more clearly. But with animals, they have limited color range. So some animals have like can only see two or three colors. So for as far as trying to find their prey is concerned, the prey has the advantage by having limited color spectrum to work with.
And it's a full page of information about each animal when you flip open to see the answer.
Not overwhelming.
It's not overwhelming. Yeah. No, but it's interesting information. It's not only about the camouflage, it's about the animals. And they're not, you know, some kind of wild animals from far away, you know.
There's
a coyote, there's some kind of snake, there's
frogs, and the grass snake, and there's
a weasel.
Trout. The weasel, that's right.
Well, the flounder, too, I mean.
Oh, the flounder, I mean, yeah.
I mean, we've seen them in aquariums and stuff like that, so it's not, you know, beyond the realm of possibility that we would see them. But the thing is, I think they've just done such a really good job because it's not cheesy, cheap poetry that they've just slapped in there to make it to just give it. Well, okay, I'm going to give it a game. I'm going to give it an illustration. I'm going to give it some nonfiction information. Those are really, really good poems. And Lucy, who has like a really fine appreciation for words and rhythms and stuff like that, she just drools over this book. I mean, she adores this book so much. In fact, we were skiing on the weekend and she's just like just learning to ski and she's scooting along behind me and she's reciting this grayish, blackish, whatever poem, which I don't have memorized, but she does. I mean, that's just how much she adores the poetry.
The poetry's great.
Grayish, greenish, blackish tree. The colors you see are the colors of me. And each poem has a different, I mean, it might be positioned in an interesting way on the page to represent the animal that's hiding, or the, and some of the poems are just very short and speckled treasures lie bare upon the pebbled bank, fragile life within. You know, what is that, a haiku or something?
I mean, I'm really like, yeah,
revealing my ignorance here. Just beautiful.
Join the conversation about great children's books by clicking on the comment link in our show notes for this podcast at justonemorebook.com. While you're there, be sure to check out all of our podcasts, including reviews and interviews. We're always looking for feedback and listener-submitted reviews. Send yours in written form or as an MP3 audio recording to justonemorebook@gmail.com. You can also use our voice feedback line, 206-350-6487. All of this information and more can be found on our website, justonemorebook.com. The theme song for the Just One More Book podcast is Woolly Mammoth by Robert Farrell. Thanks for listening, and please stay subscribed.
Just One More Book is a proud member of the MummyCast and Friends Family Channel.